People with chronic conditions often feel that fellow sufferers are the only ones who can feel their pain. For commentator Reynolds Price, that is quite literally the case.
This spring will mark the 18th anniversary of the discovery that I was sustaining an 11-inch-long malignant tumor in my spinal cord. 4 surgeries and 10 weeks of devastating radiation left me, 2 years later, paraplegic but intensely energetic and glad indeed to be alive. Paralysis aside, the enduring legacy of my collision with cancer is an absolutely non-stop assault on my mind by the severely damaged nerves of my spinal cord. The nature of the pain is indescribable, even by this professional writer, to anyone who hasn't suffered similar damage. Because I've written a book about my experience, I receive a good many letters from fellow veterans of spinal trauma. And with the advent of email, I hear from a whole new network of men and women, old and very young, who are all but desperate for some relief from levels of unremitting agony that make my own pain seem at least momentarily tolerable. We swap the names of drugs and the particular dosages that have given us even a trace of respite. In my own case, 2 years of methadone did nothing but pull me over, dead asleep into the mashed potatoes at dinner parties. The antidepressant amitriptyline could shave about 10% off the top of my pain, but it also led to considerable weight gain. Training in biofeedback and self-hypnosis enabled me to achieve welcome degrees of self-possession in the midst of especially high seizures. But nothing has ever given me more than, say, 20% relief. And as time has passed, the pain has intensified. I gather from my correspondents on the internet that their own experience is similar, if not more desperate. In general, chronic pain only grows worse. The current prescription of choice for severe damage to the central nervous system is Neurontin, a drug developed for the treatment of epilepsy, but of some use in the management of pain. Again, my own experience and that of my informants is of small relief. What do we do while we wait through our time? Well, first, we learn quickly that the interest of others in our situation is quickly, though understandably, exhausted. You can't complain meaningfully to anyone who has no comprehension of the howling and unremitting assault you're under. And however sympathetic they may be, your family and friends certainly have slim ability to help you. So a very central fact of your moment-by-moment existence is sealed in a silence that really shouldn't be broken, not in any case if you don't want your friends to begin, slowly or rapidly, to leave the room, sometimes forever. The more crafty of us don't moan then. If we're lucky, we invent distractions of whatever sort may change our minds for seconds or minutes, the company of hilarious or soothing friends, an absorbing piece of work, meditation or self-hypnosis or prayer, music, and of course, sleep. These reflections are not a request for pity, nor a narcissistic hymn to the mirror by a damaged man. They are merely true summary of the moment-by-moment experience of several million Americans and countless residents of other places on this one planet. Can there be no rescue?
Novelist Reynolds Price teaches English at Duke University in Durham, North Carolina.